Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, April 3rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira. Studio 7 is going out to you on 909 medium wave and on 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.studio7news.com. Text us at 001-202-465-0318. Among our top stories this evening, the Indigenization Minister Francis Nema is squeezed in Parliament over the Marange Zimunya Community Trust Share Ownership Trust. He says there is no written agreement stating mining companies in Marange should pay $10 million each to the fund.
I understand what you are looking for, Chair. You are looking for clarity. You are looking for what evidence we have. So let me put it clearly without going anywhere. I did not see any letter pledging $10 million from these companies.
The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai threatens to take the government to court following the passage yesterday of the electoral bill in the Senate, which it says is flawed. And the Zimbabwe Football Association turns to farming to raise money. Indigenization Minister Francis Nema was today grilled by Parliament over his failure to produce the agreement between the government and diamond mining firms in Chiyadzwa, stating the companies should pay at least $10 million each into the Marange Zimunya Community Share Ownership Trust under the country's controversial Black Economic Empowerment Program. Ivan Chifera has details from the capital.
Controversy seems to follow the country's Marange diamonds right from the beginning. Operations in Marange have lacked transparency, with activists urging government to be transparent in all its deals with firms now mining in Chiyadzwa, Manicaland province. Now things to be unraveling with the companies in Marange, Anjin, Mbada Diamonds, Diamond Mining Company, and Wall State-owned Marange Resources, telling Parliament recently that they did not sign an agreement with the government to provide $10 million each towards the Marange Zimunya Community Share Ownership Trust meant to benefit the local community. Former Indigenous Minister Xavier Kasukwere, who is still to be called to Parliament, responded and released letters in the media showing there was some communication between him and former Mines Minister Obed Mpofu, asking him to follow up with the companies to pay up. Mpofu raised a stinger, telling the media he did not know anything about the agreement, and Kasukwere responded by publishing the letters between the two of them. Today, Francis Nema, the current Indigenization Minister, had his turn before Parliament's Indigenization Committee. He was grilled over the issue. Nema said there was no written evidence that the four mining companies in Marange had pledged $10 million each, but he said a gentleman's agreement was reached with the companies at a meeting they held with the ministry. Nema said the ministry had assumed that the mining companies would pay the $10 million each, since other mining firms, Unge and Zimplats, had contributed $10 million each to community trusts in their respective areas. Committee Chairman Justice Mayor Wajajena said it was worrying that government business was being run through gentlemen's agreements.
I understand what you are looking for, Chair. You are looking for clarity. You are looking for what evidence we have so that we can prove whether the companies themselves did pledge the $10 million. Let me put it clearly without going anywhere. I did not see any letter pledging $10 million from this company.
Further quizzed, Nema said he was also investigating whether the companies had really made the pledges, which his predecessor, Xavier Kasukwere, insists were made.
Minister, Anjin brought us a check. They presented $1.5 million, which was launched by the president. So I'm shocked and surprised where you're getting the $10 million from.
That is why, sir, I am saying to you, even if when you look at 1.5, what we do have is 200, which was paid. And I have been looking, also asking questions, that what is the plan from the officials? If you say they pledged 1.5, I mean, years ago, what has happened if they've only paid 200? And the story I get is, no, they never pledged in writing. So those are issues I'm also grappling with to make sure that I get the truth out of it.
Appearing before the same committee last month, The four companies said they never made any pledges, adding they were told by the Indigenization Ministry that they should contribute $1.5 million each to the Marange Community Trust as seed money in the Community Trust Fund over a five-year period. They all said they were surprised when President Robert Mugabe announced at the launch of the trust that they had each pledged $10 million to the trust. Robert Mhlanga, chairman of Mbada Diamonds, told the committee that though his company is ready to contribute to the community trust, it never made any pledge.
There is no pledge which has been done by Mbada to contribute to the share trust scheme. In other words, what I'm trying to highlight is there was no formal communication soliciting for a pledge from Mbada Diamonds. So to that end, we have not made any pledge as a corporate.
Mbada and Marange Resources are the only two companies that have so far paid $200,000 each to the trust. Marange Zimunya Community Share Ownership Trust is not yet operational, despite having $400,000 in its coffers. Some trust members told the committee that rampant corruption and political interference are affecting its activities. Diamond Mining Company General Manager Rams Malik told the committee last month that his company wanted to pay the $1.5 million they were told to pay by the Indigenization Ministry, but it was not clear who they should give the money.
There is really no guidance. We've asked for guidance. We've asked for the relevant authorities that we are willing to pay. We want to pay. But as we know today, there's monies. We read about corruption. We read about all kinds of things. So we are really don't want to be held accountable for money that we are going to pay and then later say, come here.
He urged the government to put things right in the diamond industry so the gems can benefit the nation. The parliamentary inquiry started following Marange Community Trust's failure to begin operations due to the company's reluctance to pay into the scheme and reports of corruption and political interference. So far, trust board members, representatives from the mining companies, and Minister Nema have testified before the committee. More people are expected to be called to stand before the committee that will come up with recommendations to the government on the way forward at the end of the hearings. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it will challenge in the courts the passage yesterday of the electoral bill in the Senate, saying it is not in line with the country's new constitution. Having cleared all the parliamentary stages, the bill will go to President Mugabe, who will sign it into law. MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora, who accuses ZANU-PF of fast-tracking the bill, says the ruling party seeks to, among other things, reintroduce postal voting, bar Zimbabweans in the diaspora from voting, legalize the use of voter registration slips, and deny automatic access to the voter's roll. The bill, Monzora alleges, is highly defective as it does not address serious concerns raised by his party.
It is clear that this electoral bill is being fast-tracked so that probably the by-elections that are coming are rigged, as well as maybe trying to make sure that Gideon Gono gets into parliament. This they will do by a special clause that says that people don't have to follow the political party list in choosing the next senator or the next woman representative, those people elected through proportional representation. But what is most fundamentally important is that this bill is unconstitutional. It seeks to retain the postal vote. It seeks to legalize the use of voter registration slips instead of the actual voter's roll. There is no obligation on the part of the state to provide the voter's roll to people before the elections take place. So this is highly, highly objectionable, and it is unfair, and we are going to contest it.
How are you going to contest?
We are going to use both legal and extra-legal means. But whatever we are going to use is going to depend on the circumstances that exist. But definitely, definitely, we will embark on mass action to make sure that this bill does not pass. We will also take legal measures to make sure that this bill does not pass. This is a bill that offends the Constitution that was voted for by 3 million Zimbabweans.
What does the Constitution say? May you explain?
The Constitution says that in an election process, there must be transparency. There must be access to the voters' room by everybody contesting the elections. There must be provision of electoral material or electoral information to everyone who is contesting the election. And those people who vote must vote in areas which are designated for voting in an open, transparent, and secretive manner by secret ballot. But if you retain the postal vote system, that means people vote in barracks in front of their commanders, and the element of secrecy is then lost.
But ZANU-PF Chief Whip Joram Gumbo dismisses the MDC's intentions, saying all the correct procedures were followed when the bill was brought before the Senate.
My reaction is simple, that there was no fact-checking on this bill. There is what we call the PLC, the Parliamentary Legal Committee, which comprises very senior lawyers from MDC, including the Attorney General, Honorable Biti, and the Honorable Majome, and an independent MP, Comrade Sam Kange, who chairs that committee, and three from also ZANU-PF. So no adverse report was reported at this particular stage. Therefore, the bill was taken into Senate for the first reading. And then it went through the second reading, and it was passed when members of the MDC also participated in debating that bill. Then it went to the committee stage, where a member who has got some objections to that bill has got to stand up and propose amendments to the bill, which members of the MDC did not do. They walked out. And when they walked out, the members who remained continued with the committee stage, and they had no proposals for or amendments to make. So the bill passed that committee stage, and they went for the third reading. At the third reading, no amendments were made. So the fact that colleagues from the MDC are now making a lot of noise to say it was the first mistake, I am sorry, I don't want to use provocative words, but let me just point out that there is no harm in admitting that they don't know the procedures of passing bills. It is just a question of ignorance. The correct procedures were followed, and the bill was correctly passed, and it is now going to leave Senate and is going to come to the House of Assembly.
For perspective on the Electoral Amendment Bill, reporter Standekile Mhlanga reached political analyst and Bulawayo Agenda Director Thabani Nyoni, who says if the bill is signed into law, Zimbabwe's elections will continue to be flawed.
The changes in the electoral management process as by law are very key in Zimbabwe, very important, especially considering that our elections have always been contested in both in terms of the process and the outcome, and they usually do not inspire confidence, which is why as a country we are still struggling to attract investment, we are still struggling to build confidence, because elections are related to the legitimacy of a government. If a government is not legitimate, it will fail to inspire confidence even within the internal boundaries. It's very important that we also begin to show that we are maturing as a country with fair and competitive electoral politics.
What do you foresee happening in the next elections if the proposed amendments are not effected in this bill?
The next elections are likely to see a decline in citizen participation in elections, because citizens would already be knowing that this is a predetermined electoral process with an unfair advantage to those who drive the process. So certainly it will just be not an election per se, but a way of endorsing the current setup. And again, we will see a problem with the legitimacy of that government.
What other channels are open to opposition parties to ensure that the government effect these changes, seeing that ZANU-PF has the majority in both the upper and lower house?
Well, what was important for the opposition was to organize citizens rather than fight each other, but organize citizens to actually demand that there be changes. But should they fail, because it's likely that they will fail, they don't command the majority, should do what they should have done in July 31. One of the things is to refuse to participate in an electoral process or to endorse an electoral process that is not there, that is unknown, that is shouted in secrecy, and which they have no confidence in.
That was Thabani Nyoni, political analyst and Bulawayo Agenda Director, on the line from Bulawayo. The Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, MISA Zimbabwe, says the reversal of a management reshuffle by the ZBC board this week is no indication that the ailing state broadcaster is on the way to recovery. The ZBC board on Monday said it was not consulted or advised of the reshuffle and overturned the management decision. Acting ZBC Chief Executive Alan Chiwese announced the changes last week, saying they were meant to improve the fortunes of the beleaguered state broadcaster, ridden by a wage scandal where top managers were drawing huge salaries at the expense of service delivery. Yesterday, Information Minister Jonathan Moyo denied that he had anything to do with the reversal of the appointments. His phone went unanswered today when Studio 7 tried to reach him. The reshuffle would have seen Head of Radio Services Christopher Chivinge and Head of News and Current Affairs Josephine Zulu swapping roles. But in a statement issued by Board Chairman Father Gibson Munyoro, the board advised the managers to go back to their usual roles. Mr. Zimbabwe Director Nhlan Hlangwenya told Studio 7 the board is only flexing its muscles, adding in reality there isn't much it can do to change the situation at the state broadcaster where political interference is rife.
I think what we're seeing here is a new board that is trying to assert its authority. It's a new board that is trying to say things have to be done according to the book. If the book says every senior appointment at the corporation should have a board approval, it shall be so. This is what they are trying to say. To say we are breaking from the old traditions of where management was not accountable to the board. So if that decision is that they have to be taken in accordance with the policies and regulations where the board should be involved or where the board needs to give an approval. This is what they are trying to say, that we are in control. It is not the management that is running, but the management is merely implementing board policy.
In other words, are we seeing a different kind of approach that might make things happen at ZBC?
I think it's still too early to say so, particularly I think it will be quite naive for anyone or any observer to use this incident to say this is the dawn of a new era. It is only one incident.
That was Director Nhlan Hlangwenya of the Zimbabwe chapter of the Media Institute of Southern Africa. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. As reported earlier, Indigenization Minister Francis Nema today confirmed the government did not sign any agreement with the companies exploiting the Marange Diamond Fields as Parliament grilled him on the Marange Zimunya Community Share Trust. The controversy over the so-called agreements has raised questions about what really is going on behind closed doors when the government or its officials enter into deals with companies exploiting the country's resources. Government officials say some ownership schemes in the country have already started to assist communities, but critics disagree, saying there just isn't enough tangible evidence to support that. For perspective, a reporter Tatenda Gumbo turned to former Deputy Indigenization Minister and MDCT member Tongai Matutu and ZANU-PF MP for Bindura South, Remigius Matangira. Matangira says there is proof in Bindura that the share ownership or community trust schemes are making a difference in ordinary people's lives.
Roads are being actually slack made, schools are being built, clinics are being built, and people are being empowered in skills. Vocational training centers are being built. Those that could not have a chance of going to school. We now have got actually adult literate schools running in the district because of the community awareness. They are building those schools and people are being aged now to go back to. People are now being trained in different skills in the vocational training centers. It has been made actually able by the way of the community share ownership trust. So we are saying honestly, the community share ownership money has seen us actually come up. And it's something that is tangible because it's a 10% of 2 billion. It's a 10% of everything that these companies have made in the past, in the present, and the communities are beneficiaries of the same. So we are saying this is the way to go. Where in the world would you find a president that wants to empower his people? And we are so happy in Zimbabwe.
Let me have Mr. Matutu come in here. What's your take on this issue of community ownership schemes? And is the right thing happening? Are we seeing all the communities benefiting from these monies?
It's a bit unfortunate that this is a policy and a scheme. When it was formulated, it was supposed to be managed in a very transparent manner with the sole purpose and aim that at least it should be able to benefit the community. Right now, if you listen to Honorable Matangi, as he speaks about the success of those community ownership schemes, he cannot even tell us how much was actually pledged and how much was so far used or applied towards those programs. It's just a question of talking about a success which is not there. The truth of the matter is that if an audit is going to be undertaken throughout the whole country about the success or otherwise of this noble cause, actually the result will be that it has failed, and I think it will be condemned. And it has failed basically for two reasons. The first point is that it was never managed transparently. And secondly, that the seed money, which was pledged by various mining companies, was never pledged in a transparent manner. It was actually pledged under extortion. Hence, this is the reason why most of those companies are now turning around. If you go to Manicaland, most of those companies are saying, we have never pledged anything. We have never said we are going to give 10,000. It's the same situation here in Mashingo province. There's not even a drop of any kind of money that has actually been put within the community ownership trust. But when it was launched through Pombe and say, it was actually, the belief was that there's going to be a change overnight in terms of the well for the community. That has never happened. Even, for example, we have a problem in Tokwe Mokosi. Assuming that at least the 20 or so million that has been pledged towards the communities, if that man was there, then ordinarily we could not have the situation that we're experiencing in Tokwe Mokosi, because the man would be there for communities.
Honorable, is it true that this program has failed, even though we might be seeing some good positive things, mainly, as Mr. Matutu is saying, it has failed?
Yeah, ma'am, to be very honest with you, if one doesn't know the matrix around actually the formation of the trustees or the trust members, then he would be actually, it's like saying what he's saying. People in the trust or trustee members, board of trust, they are elected by the community. You are not going to take a blanket and say, because you have gone actually down to Florida and now you want to call America, has failed because of one particular town. I'm talking about Bindura Community Share Owners Trust. I will not talk about Zimbabwean Community Share Owners Trust, because he wants to be a board member of the TM chain stores. You can't be. He has got to be elected into the board of the Community Share Owners Trust in his area. Then he will know what is happening. If everything is not right then he will have to make it right.
Honorable, just one question. If this is working in Bindura, yes, how come we can't translate this throughout the country, as Mr. Matutu is saying, that if one area can work, why can't it work everywhere throughout the country?
Yeah, this is what I'm asking Comrade Matutu. You know, I don't know where he comes from.
Mashingo.
All right. He is Mashingo. Mashingo is a generalized province, because this, it would be at a district. But as you know, actually, the dispensation of our election, Comrade Matutu's party, no, we want Comrade Matutu to come with a plan. How best can we make the community share ownership trust work? He comes up with a suggestion. He does it to government. And government, if it is good, it will adopt, it will do. Because he's writing corrections before it exercises.
Mr. Matutu, your response.
I still stand by the submissions that I made earlier on. That to deny that this system needs to be revisited, I think, is to do injustice to a noble cause. I would like to believe the honorable member should be able then to actually interrogate the relevant minister and the past ministers to say, what are you doing about other areas where there is nothing tangible on the ground? Where, for example, a pledge of 50 million translated to only 400,000 in terms of disbursements in Manicaland. These are the issues that we are supposed to look at. To say that you built a clinic in Bindura, it could be true, fine. But why is there no single road in Mashingo province? Why are we not having a clinic in Manicaland? Those are the issues that we want to look at. So basically what we are trying to say is this. There must be a revisit to make sure that the whole process reflects the aspirations of the communities.
Former Education Indigenization Minister and MDCT member Tongai Matutu, you also heard the views of Bindura South lawmaker Remigius Matangira of ZANU-PF. Former Mozambican President Joaquim Chissano says African leaders should work hard to ensure all citizens have access to reproductive health information and services. In a keynote address yesterday at a two-day regional policy dialogue conference on integrated sexual reproductive health and HIV services for key populations in East and Southern Africa held in Johannesburg, Mr. Chissano said it is important for everyone in Africa to have access to such crucial information. The conference was organized by the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, or SAFAIDS, a regional non-profit organization based in Harare. SAFAIDS media manager Tariro Makanga speaks with Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye about the meeting and its outcomes.
The conference that we are having in South Africa, we are bringing together leadership from East and Southern Africa, where we are talking about leadership that should protect key populations. And when we are talking about key populations, we are talking about people with disability, we're talking about commercial sex workers, we are talking about gays and lesbians, that group that is often marginalized, that faces challenges when they try to access sexual and reproductive health services, particularly when they try to seek medical services. We are living in an era where we have HIV, and when you're looking at these key populations, often when you talk to a commercial sex worker, they will tell you accessing health services within a hospital becomes a challenge. And so the message that we are saying is, if you're a leader within your country, you're a leader within your community, why even stigmatize and discriminate somebody? We want anybody to access sexual and reproductive health services whenever they need them.
We understand that you also have some dignitaries from Africa and also lawmakers from Zimbabwe. What message are they trying to convey?
It's actually a platform that we've brought everyone together to really come and discuss these issues. And for most of them, really, they didn't have an understanding of these issues, of saying a sex worker can actually go to a hospital and be denied services, or first stigmatization to the extent that they do not want to come back again for services. We were honored to have His Excellency, former President of Mozambique, Joaquim Chissano, who has actually committed to take these issues up.
That was SAFAIDS media manager Tariro Makanga speaking with Studio 7 reporter Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye from Johannesburg in South Africa. And in sports news, Zifa, which has been troubled over the years by lack of funding, is turning to agriculture to resolve its perennial crisis. Reporter Chris Gande speaks with sports commentator Muziwetu Hadebe.
It's very rare. I think teams try to concentrate on their core business, but we have seen teams also diversifying, for example, getting into retail shopping, but they'll be trying to sell their merchandise. We've also seen other teams partnering with the United Nations, for example, Barcelona. That's not their core business, but they get into it as a social responsibility, and in the process, they tend also to realize the revenue. We have also seen Barcelona getting into administering of hospitals through their various trusts. And this is also through that aspect of social responsibility. Back home here in Zimbabwe, we know that Highlanders moved into selling of liquor. That's the traditional beer, where they managed to get one of the beer halls that was put on tender by the city of Bulawayo. And they are running that beer hall known as Manuele. But I think we Highlanders have realized and they've seen that it's actually difficult to run that core business. So clubs do get into that. For example, they will be running like in their clubhouse, they will have to sell one or two items.
Sports commentator Muziwetu Hadebe speaking there with reporter Chris Gande. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but just as a reminder to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with you and experts about community share schemes under the Indigenization Program. Tell us what is happening in Marange, in Buhera, in Mashingo, where you are, do you have community share schemes? What is going on there? What do you know? What do you need to know? To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. That's all we had for you tonight. Signing off is Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a